is Jesus? In the previous broadcast, we looked at the question, was there a Jesus? Did Jesus of Nazareth actually live? Was he a real historical figure? Now, we raise that question because we live in a skeptical world. We live in a doubting generation. We live at a time where people not only question and even sometimes deny that Jesus is the Son of God, but we also live in a time where people question whether Jesus of Nazareth actually existed. I'm looking at a letter that was sent out by a large and influential atheistic organization here in this country. They were responding to the question, did Jesus of Nazareth actually exist? Now, there are times where atheists will tell you, well, yes, Jesus of Nazareth really lived. He actually existed, but he was not deity. He was not the Son of God like you Christians believe. But then there are others that are so radical that they give this answer like this group does. This group said, in answer to the question, was there really a Jesus of Nazareth? They said, there is no evidence that such a person ever did exist. Now, folks, that is absolutely amazing and absurd in light of all the evidence that we've talked about. We see in the Bible that there were many eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ. We read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. We read the writings of Peter and Paul and John and other New Testament writers who were contemporary with Jesus Christ and the early church. Not only that, in the previous broadcast, we went outside of the Bible to see that even those who were not Christians in the first century admitted that Jesus of Nazareth actually did exist. So we looked at the writings of Josephus. Josephus said that Jesus of Nazareth existed, that he was crucified by Pontius Pilate, just like the New Testament says. We looked at the writings of Tacitus, a very antagonistic and hostile witness to the life of Jesus. He was not a Christian, and yet he admitted that Jesus Christ actually lived and that he was crucified by Pontius Pilate. And so we have all kinds of historical evidence that Jesus Christ did live just like the Bible says. Now, it's amazing that anybody would ask this question because when you look at other people in history, I believe that most of these same skeptics and atheists would never raise the slightest doubt or any kind of question about certain people. For instance, what about Christopher Columbus? What about Genghis Khan? What about George Washington? How do we know that those men actually lived? How do we know that they actually existed? Well, we know because of witnesses. We know because of people that saw them and heard them and knew them, that wrote about them and passed down that information to our time. And it is a very dishonest thing for a man that is a skeptic or an atheist to look back at those people and never even question or doubt that Genghis Khan or Christopher Columbus or that George Washington ever lived. And yet they will raise the question, well, how do you Christians know that Jesus actually lived? The information is there, and the proof is rock solid. Now, what we're going to do in this broadcast is to raise this same question, who is Jesus? And we're going to look at it from a slightly different perspective. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Now, when we look at this particular proof about Jesus, we're looking not only at the fact that Jesus of Nazareth really did exist, but we're looking at rock-solid proof that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah. And so we're going to be turning back to the Old Testament this morning to look at several passages that were written hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. And yet these passages were fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. Folks, that is too much time between the time that the prophecies were made and hundreds of years later when they were fulfilled in and by Jesus Christ. That is too much time for those prophets to have just been guessing about this. That's too much time to elapse for this to have been just some kind of coincidence. This is divine prophecy. God inspired these prophets to write these things about Jesus Christ, and they're far too specific, folks. They have far too many details for these prophets just to throw out some kind of general reference to some kind of Messiah in the future that Jesus happened to fulfill. No, we're looking at actual, real, biblical prophecies. First of all, let's go to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And as we turn to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, some of you may know exactly what we're going to look at in that passage. You may know ahead of time what this is a prophecy of. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, writing hundreds of years before Jesus was born, Micah said this, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Now the Jews had read that passage for hundreds of years by the time that Jesus came. And the Bible tells us that Herod wanted to know where they thought that the Messiah was going to be born. And when Herod asked those leading Jews that question, they pointed him to this very passage, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, because they had believed for many generations that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And they knew that that was a passage, that was a prophecy about the Messiah. It was not about some mere man, because it says that he is to be ruler in Israel, and his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So that goes way back before the time that any man could have ever been born. This has to be about the divine Son of God. So the Old Testament said hundreds of years before Jesus was born that he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5, verse 2, fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says this in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 13, that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. So Zechariah chapter 11 was written several hundred years before Jesus was born. And there's no way that Jesus could have faked this, because Jesus had no choice in how much money he was betrayed for. That was something between Judas Iscariot and the chief priest of the Israelite people. Jesus was not even there on that occasion. Jesus had no control over that. And yet what we find is that the Bible predicted that. It prophesied about that several hundred years before it even came to pass. That was fulfilled, of course, in Matthew chapter 27, when Judas betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. We also find this, that in Psalm 22, the Bible says, in reference to Jesus Christ, and Psalm 22 was written about 1,000 years by David before Jesus was born, David said, "All those who see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.'" Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8. Now that is almost the exact expression of words that we find in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 27, verse 43. That is exactly what the unbelieving Jews said when they were mocking Jesus as he was hanging on the cross. And yet, David wrote those words about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. We also find in Psalm 22, in that same psalm, these words, "For dogs have surrounded me, the assembly of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet." Psalm 22, verse 16. Now, how did David know that? How could David write about that? How would he know that the Messiah would be pierced in his hands and in his feet, of course, when he was crucified? It's because God was inspiring him to write those things. We find this also in Psalm 22, verse 18. "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." That is exactly what the soldiers did in Matthew 27, 35, when they fulfilled this passage. Now again, Jesus had absolutely no control over what they did. He didn't tell them to do that, and if he'd tried to tell them what to do, they wouldn't listen to him anyway. So this was beyond his control. There's no way that these things could have been staged. The Bible also tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 7, that Jesus was silent before his executioners. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Now we know that's what happened when Jesus was before Pilate, because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27, verse 14, that Pilate marveled greatly that Jesus would not answer and defend himself. Jesus was fulfilling what Isaiah wrote hundreds of years before he was born. We also find in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8, that he made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Isaiah 53, verse 9. Now, that was fulfilled, of course, when Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, offered to let Jesus be buried in his own sepulcher. He was executed with transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors. Isaiah 53, verse 12. That was fulfilled when Jesus was crucified between two thieves. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 12 also, that he was to pray for sinners. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Well, that was fulfilled when Jesus prayed in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, friends, this is a drop in the bucket compared to all the other prophecies that we find in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ. These are just a sampling of the many prophecies that are in your Old Testament that prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So when we ask the question, well, how do we know that Jesus is actually the Son of God? How do we know that he is the divine Savior of mankind? Jesus was a man of prophecy because he fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies written about him.